What's going on, Clipper Nation? It's the pod you know and love. Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network. It's me, William the Opinion Updike.
And I am positive Chuck Mockler.
And we're coming at you 5 days a week with all the freshest Clippers news. And we got a doozy of a show lined up for you today. We're going to actually kick things off with a recap of Friday night's win over the Rockets.
Yes. It warrants discussion.
It does warrant discussion. Really, really great win on that one. Went down to the wire. And then the meat of the episode today, we're going to be talking about the Pelicans win, which we just got out of. Nice to get kind of a resounding win. The bench was absolutely phenomenal in
Trez
this game. Trez
literally had a career game.
Trez had a career game. Everybody looked really, really strong. And then today is Monday, so every single week we do a segment called The Freshies. It's kind of a rookie report slash a new guy status report.
Yeah.
We're going to be talking a little bit about man's minutes, as well as we got some Jerome Robinson stuff. And what else? Whatever else is fresh.
Oh, yeah. People will find out.
So all that and more coming up right about now.
So in case you missed it, on Friday, the Clippers continued their stretch of stressful wins.
Mm-hmm.
But the most important thing is that second word, wins, by beating the Rockets 122-119. This one was, out of control. The end of this game was insane.
Yes.
Let's get into what we liked.
Yeah, absolutely. The 10-0 run to cap off the victory was really nice. It kind of started.
It was insane. We were down 5 with 54 seconds left.
Yeah, and this whole run kind of, it started a little bit fluky, to be perfectly honest.
Doc admitted to it.
Doc called for a timeout. It wasn't seen. Lou knocked down a three.
And then it was like, okay, let's go.
Yeah, and then they were able to draw up an action for Kawhi, who hit his next three. And that just started a momentum shift that was able to vault us over the Rockets, despite some inefficiencies and some kind of early struggles, especially, I think, Lou.
But we're talking about what we liked right now.
I mean, I liked second half, Lou.
0 points in the first half for Lou. 26 in the second.
That's Lou, baby.
That's Lou, dude.
Second
half Lou Williams of that game was like, he couldn't be stopped. This was a game, I don't know. This game showed that because this was a good team to play in terms of the trap,
mm-hmm.
which is now something we're all going to see a bunch.
Yeah.
And they showed in this game that even with not very much practice together
mm-hmm.
and stuff like that, that the passing out of the trap feels a little bit better to me than I thought it was going to look.
Well, I think
I sound so angry about that, but
it definitely helps that there's so many shooters surrounding whoever's handling the ball. And if not shooters, guys who can get buckets in other ways. I think that the assertiveness, especially I want to say of Patrick Beverley, helps mitigate some of that. Some of the trapping when he's able to create offense as well.
Yeah.
Just like when everybody's
just
firing.
Just draw attention.
Yeah, just when everybody's firing, it makes it a lot easier. I also really liked Russell Westbrook was on Paul George for his first couple of touches, and he just scored at will.
Yeah, for sure. The 2-1-2 zone was fun to watch.
Yeah.
We were next to Pavi from Hoops and Brews. Shout out Hoops and Brews. But he was like, are they playing? He and I were both like, they're playing the zone, which they do sometimes.
Yeah, Doc
but against a team like the Rockets, it's kind of funny to see.
It makes sense.
And it worked. It was with the bench, but it worked. The total team defense in this one, we played pretty rough in this game and we still got the win.
Absolutely.
Which goes into what we didn't like. 19 turnovers.
Not good. That's even more than we've been averaging. Normally, I think we're around the 17 mark. And
2 games in a row where we've averaged, at this point, more than we usually do.
Absolutely.
But the game against the Pelicans, which we'll talk about later, that helped us out a little bit. We'll get into that. But first half free throws were tough. We had 2.
Yeah.
Which was absurd.
A lot of trouble getting to the line. And we mentioned that would be kind of a key. Especially down the stretch in this one.
Yeah. This was the first all-around rusty game for Paul George to see.
Yeah, yeah. There were some defensive struggles it seemed like he had in the game against the Pelicans, which we'll discuss later. But yeah, there was a little bit of it. There was a little bit of rust, and I think obviously that's going to be apparent when you're playing like a top tier team in the West.
So. But the good thing is he got to the line more than anyone else.
Yeah,
he ended up with 19 points, 8 of 9 from the line, which I mean really helped us out. Obviously, in a game that we won by 3, there was an issue. Harden was getting a lot of fouls, which is something that obviously you can expect. Some of these fouls were... He took 18 free throws, by the way. Here's my thing. I'm fine with a guy getting a guy to jump and then leaning into contact. Mm-hmm. Lou Will does it.
Mm-hmm.
James Harden does it. It's a very fair foul. Those kinds of fouls I'm fine with.
It's crafty.
Harden was doing this thing where he was hooking arms. Like he hooked Kawhi's arm in a way that can
injure a player.
Hurt a player.
Yeah, yeah.
That is rough. He finished with 37 points. But like that kind of foul, I mean, that's a dangerous play.
Yeah, we've seen, I mean, other people have talked about this before, and the hooking thing is a little bit egregious, so we're not going to harp on that one too much, but big F you to James Harden.
Oh, wow. I mean, in this particular case, that's fair. We started this game strong and finished it strong. The middle was just a little rough.
Yeah, it was just the third quarter again, really, and there was a stretch at the end of the second, and then, yeah, the third quarter where we were outscored 33-25. Other than that, really pretty solid. Do we want to get into anything else that we didn't like on this one?
Not really. I guess we should run some just
Do we want to talk about Zoo at all? Because you had a thing
in this game,
you were pretty frustrated with.
I was frustrated with Zoo's minutes in this game. Zoo played 13 minutes in this game. He went 4 for 4. He had 5 boards, 2 assists. He did have 4 fouls, which was an issue. Trez, I mean, this is where it's hard. Trez played well. He had 18 points, 7 rebounds, 2 assists, did have 5 turnovers. But the interior defense was getting a little exposed when Trez was out there.
Yeah.
And I know he was in offensive mode and stuff like that. But, I mean, and Doc has been right. Like, we've been winning. So it's this thing where it's something I'm upset about, but it hasn't cost us games yet.
Mm-hmm.
It was just, I don't know, 13 minutes just feels, that's so low.
I agree. It's really low. It definitely is asking Trez to carry a lot. However, the starters in this one recorded 0 blocks, and we were still able to outscore Houston in the paint, albeit only by 6 points, but it wasn't like as big of a hemorrhage as maybe you know, we were able to make up for offensively. Still, I got to agree with you. That's a lot of minutes to be asking Trez to play night in and night out, especially against larger, more traditional centers.
Yeah, Capella had 19 boards and 17 points.
Yeah.
Wild.
It's super wild. And he's been, you know, and like they knew that was that like flurry of rebounding was coming too from Capella. He's been averaging 20 a game over like for 6 over the last 7 games.
Yeah.
So I don't know. He was able to pretty much get what he wanted, and he played damn near every minute of the game. So
yeah. Here's one thing I forgot to say that I liked, that I think we all liked. Russell Westbrook going 1 of 7 from 3, including the game-losing shot.
Yep.
Russell Westbrook had, I don't know, 3 Clippers on him on an inbounds play,
mm-hmm.
decided to just...
You got to let her fly.
Hurl it.
You got to let it fly. Don't forget that, Russ.
I don't know if that was a brick so much as a...
Somebody got a finger on it, I thought.
Okay.
I can't remember, but I feel like...
There were some shots that he missed in this game that were almost like trying to prove a point.
Yeah.
Like he'd hit the backboard so hard, but that was great. He got held to 9 of 22 shooting, didn't finish with 22, but I mean, it was a close win. It felt almost insurmountable at some times, but this team's resolve took it over. Kawhi had 24.
And Kawhi like truly came alive at the end of this game.
Yes.
In a way that I'm sure shut up a lot of people who were unsure of his greatness or like returning or
yes.
plan.
Mo started, went 3 of 4. We had a great Mo game, 7 points, 4 boards. Lou, 26 second half. It was a fun game.
So how are we feeling on this one?
after this game, we felt great.
Yeah.
Went to Hank's Bar. It was a good time. But this was also one of those games where if we would have lost, it would have been a lot. It would have been very negative.
Yeah, I know. We keep talking about this. Like, these games where we do get the win out and it's really, really nice, but it would be like a complete 180 if we were to get a loss, which
is obviously it always is like that.
It's not the case. I don't feel like that's the case for every loss. This would have been an especially frustrating one just because, you know, I felt like throughout all four quarters, we were really the better team. And we just had some struggles.
Yeah. 100%. Couldn't agree more. Coming up after this.
Yeah.
We got a recap of Sunday's game. Fresh out of that. This one was not very close.
No.
But we'll get into that right after this.
All right. So, in case you missed it tonight, the Clips pulled off a 134-109 victory over the Pelicans. A lot of stuff to like there.
Felt good. The best thing to like was Montrezl Harrell.
Career high tying.
Said hello to his career high.
34 points.
34 points. 12 boards. Doc said it perfectly in the postgame presser. He goes, a lot of people thought Trez was only good because of Lou Will. And now people are saying that, no, Trez is just good, period.
Yeah, he did a lot offensively in this game. He was able to finish with his non-dominant hand. He was able to finish left.
He went left like 5 times, Doc said. And, I mean, he was hitting up and under layups.
Yeah. He was really, really solid. Just on a personal note, it seems like maybe Trez has been having some difficulties.
Going through some stuff.
Personally.
Going through some things.
To see him have like a resounding kind of a dominant performance like this was really, really great. He did a shout out to the Knuckleheads.
Hey, Rich, yeah.
Which was really, really great to see.
This was a perfect Trez Light offensively. 13 for 18 for a 72% field goal percentage. I would say, as impressive, 8 of 10 from the line.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't be surprised if every single time he went to the line, it was for an and one. 4 offensive boards, 12 total, 2 assists, 1 steal, 2 blocks, no turnovers, only 3 fouls. Absurd. It was the best offensive Trez game we've ever seen.
Really, really, really good.
It was... awesome to see. He needed it. We needed it. We needed a win like this.
His efficiency, I mean, like, we talk about it, and I feel like we've talked more and more about how soft his touch is and, like, how good he is at finishing. Like, his efficiency is unbelievable. He's currently at, like, 20, almost a 23 PER. 15 is, like, average.
Yeah.
And so this is like he's like almost double a regular player.
That sounds about right. He absolutely was tonight. Another thing we liked, the whole bench.
Yeah.
72 bench points. Everyone had a positive net rating. Rodney Magruder, my guy, who I've been saying I like to fit on this team, had arguably a perfect Rodney Magruder game. 9-6-4, no turnovers, 66% shooting.
Solid. Yeah, it was great. He looked good. That's like all you need from Magruder. And I don't even want to say all you need because that sounds disparaging. But
he played great. He plays good defense.
If he can consistently offer that up, it's just another weapon.
It's just another plus.
Yeah, it's another one of those things that helps you trudge through hard games.
For sure. Paul George and Kawhi were a combined 13 of 39 from the field. Kawhi did end with 26, 4 boards, and 6 assists, which was fantastic to see. Only 1 turnover. PG, 18, 5-2, with 3 steals.
Yep.
And a block. But not the best shooting night from them by any means. Kawhi, 2 for 6 from 3. Paul George, however, 6 of 16.
Yeah, he did shoot 37% from 3. I believe he was only 30% overall.
Yeah, he only
though,
made
3.
He went 6 of 20 tonight.
So that was a little bit difficult. This game I also thought he showed rust a little bit. He fell down like 4 different times.
I can't remember who it is on Twitter who keeps tagging me and going back and forth, but we have a running joke that we're counting all of Paul George's falls. And it's a lot.
But the last fall, I think he was taken out for at least a period of time after it.
Yeah.
He real early, I can't even remember who he was defending, but bit on a pump fake and like gave up.
Went up.
Yeah.
And that's some rust.
Yeah. We also didn't get to see the passing on full display, but overall, really great performance from Paul.
We were talking about this. I'm not sure in a 7-game series,
mm-hmm.
if the strategy against this team is trap Kawhi and Paul George, mm-hmm. or trap the ball handler, whatever, the hope for that defense is that the other guy, you'll say Kawhi's getting trapped and then Paul George on the floor, they have to hope that he's not playing well.
Yep.
They also have to hope that, like, Bev, Zoo, and Mo, or whoever's starting, aren't hitting their shots at a normal rate that they usually hit them at.
100%.
And then the bench is Lou and Trez. And so I just...
Well, and
I'm not saying we were playing like to optimum efficiency or anything like that tonight, but yeah. The bench was.
Yeah, and we talked about this a little bit during the game. I was surprised how aggressively the Pelicans were trapping, just
because they have one of the worst defenses in the league.
Yeah, no disrespect, but like the defensive personnel just isn't there to cover up for anybody, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, Drew is great, but...
Well, this is where I thought it was interesting. They didn't start Lonzo. He didn't look that good. He had stretches. He had a stretch, which we'll talk about. It was in the third when we weren't really playing well,
mm-hmm.
where he was looking pretty good. But I just thought with Giroux and Lonzo, that's a pretty good defensive backcourt.
Yeah, Lonzo did not have the best game.
4 for 13, 9 points.
1 of 7 from three. 2 turnovers to only 5 assists. But, you know, he's working his way back into game shape as well.
Yeah. Another thing we liked, Pat Bev's early drives, very assertive.
Yeah, so we've been talking about this more and more. It seems like Pat is like developing just another aspect of his game in being able to get to the rim.
I think he's getting it back a little bit more.
Yes.
I think he got away from it last year, kind of. Yeah. He was just shooting so well.
Well, and I think coming off of a major knee thing, too, I think that there's a level of confidence
for sure.
That goes into like trusting your body at that again. And if you ever watch Patrick Beverly in warmups, a lot of what he practices, honestly, is like teardrops,
floaters.
Like going into the lane,
yeah.
Floaters.
Super weird release points, so they always go in.
Yeah, so it's nice to see him kind of getting back to that. And it just does... It opens up a lot of things when he's able to aggressively drive to the basket, whether he's able to score or if he can kick it out to one of the, you know, fantastic open shooters around him.
Yeah, Pat Bev ended this game with not as many rebounds as he did against the Celtics, but he had 10. He did have 7 rebounds, 4 assists, only 1 turnover, 2 blocks.
Good shit, all in all. what else do we like from this one?
This one bridges the gap.
Yeah.
So we took a ton of threes in this game.
Yeah. What was the final total on
the
that?
The final total on
33,
threes.
I think.
43.
43.
It was 43 threes. Paul George, like we mentioned, took 16, which ties a Clipper record for threes attempted.
Yes.
Previously held by, believe it or not,
Lou Williams.
But so Doc talked about that in the presser. Like, that's just what happens when they trap, is that yeah. the shots are just open. So it's... Like, that's what I was saying earlier about, like, so you just have to hope that our guys aren't hitting threes at a normal rate.
Yeah.
But you're still behind the eight ball if they are. But if they're not, like, is that the play here for other teams, is to force us to take threes, I guess?
I mean...
I'm fine with it.
Yeah, I guess if that's, like, if that's your best...
If they're going to trap as hard as the Pelicans did in this game.
Yeah, if that's your best option.
All right, so what we didn't like?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, this is a good one from... This is that 6-minute stretch in the third we talked about.
Yeah, really were unable to execute there. I'm not sure 100% what...
It just looked like the guys were just moving slow. I mean, we only got outscored by 3 in that quarter.
Yeah.
31-28, but it definitely like... It felt like almost that Spurs game
mm-hmm.
where they just kept hanging around.
Yeah, for sure.
But,
I
mean, we, you know, it only got as low as... It was 6 points halfway through the third quarter. So, you know, not necessarily the easiest of feelings.
Yeah, no, they definitely cut down a large lead. But then, credit to the Pelicans for that one.
But then it got out of hand pretty quickly, which was kind of nice. You didn't like Zoo's game tonight, which
yeah.
is fair.
I'd have to look at it again because maybe I'm being overly harsh, but just kind of watching it, He just seemed kind of out of sorts sometimes on the floor.
Yeah.
I don't know 100% what was the deal with that. There was like a miscommunication on setting a screen, I remember, at one point, and he basically just stood in the way of the ball handler.
Was that when he ran into PG? Because him and PG collided.
Yeah, and then on the defensive end, at one point, there was like a miscommunication or something, and he and PG collided, and PG went to the ground, and then they ended up giving up an easy bucket in transition because there was, you know, it was a 5-on-3.
Yeah.
So
this was rusty.
It was just stuff like that where it wasn't the communication there. And Doc has talked about how, you know, he feels like on defense, the guards are doing a better job of communicating. The wings are communicating really well. He said essentially that the fives need to be communicating a little bit better.
For sure.
And I think that was as much of an issue as anything else. I think maybe the communication just wasn't quite there. That's what it looked like to the eye.
And offensively, he went 2 of 6.
Yeah.
But
fouled out in 17 minutes.
A couple of those were soft calls.
Last
one was a soft
call. I would definitely give the last one like a soft call, but like, I don't know. If you're a starter, I don't know.
You should really be
in that position.
Yeah.
But, you know, it happens. Bev. He did add 10 boards, which we needed. So
yeah, Bev has kind of a new thing of like getting early fouls. That's a thing Bev has been doing.
Yeah.
Which is something I didn't like from this game. I don't think it's going to, I hope it doesn't continue. But I think it's just something that's just getting used to back to play. I don't know. It just makes things a little harder. Like,
yeah.
You know.
In my mind, it's one of those things where it can be kind of hard to.
But the bench is so good. So.
Get out of.
Yeah.
The mentality of doing, like, last year it happened a lot of times where Steph Curry got a lot of reaching fouls.
Yeah.
And it eventually ended up becoming almost like a part of his game. Like, he would get into foul trouble sometimes because of these reaching fouls. And I do think that we are still at a point where it's fine to be working out some of the rust.
Yeah.
But if this is still a situation that we're talking about, you know, in February, then it starts to get a little bit more concerning.
Yeah, that's fair. How we feeling?
Pretty good on this
one. Great. Yeah. I'm feeling it's nice to end that home stand. We're, 11-1 at home now?
Yep.
Continuing to break that record. Got a tough game coming up on Tuesday, but I like how we're going into the travel day. I'm feeling great. Coming up after this, we're going to be talking to the new guys on the Freshies, but first, got to give a shout-out to Audible. They have the world's largest selection of audio books and audio entertainment.
Cannot forget the audio entertainment.
If you're on the go, that is audiotainment. Start listening with a 30-day Audible trial. Choose one audiobook and two Audible
originals.
Absolutely free. Visit audible.com/lockedonNBA. Listening on the go. If you can't visit Audible right now, you can find this and all other forms from Locked On sponsors at lockedonpodcast.com/offers. Welcome
to the Freshies.
It's fresh. Ricky Chu had this great tweet. I believe it's at Ricky Chu. Great Clippers Twitter follow. How are we rebounding so well after shipping out more size than we got back in?
That's a great question.
I was like, do you think it's just they figured out guys who could just play within the system better?
Yeah, I think it's definitely a positioning kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Also, you know, Paul and Kawhi are both great rebounders. Pat is becoming a phenomenal rebounder.
Ralph tweeted that Patrick Beverley was pound for pound the best rebounder in the league.
It gotta be.
I can't agree more. He's 100% right.
The top of my head, can't think of a better rebounding guard. I mean, I guess Westbrook is
those
up
are
there.
Show rebounds. Ben's getting real rebounds. I'm serious.
All right.
But it's a nice development. Because we were all worried about the rebounding in the beginning of the year, admittedly. Because on paper, it was kind of like, oh, man.
Yeah.
100%. It was basically like, we really got to hope Bev steps it up. That was the main thing, and he just has.
And Zoo is good for, you know, I feel like sometimes I am not the hottest on Zoo's overall performances.
You're pretty down on Zoo.
That's not true.
Okay.
That's not true. But he is good for, I feel like he's good for 10 boards on any night.
Yeah, for sure. Any night he gets it, I'm pleasant. I'm like, oh, that's tight. I'm never too crazy surprised.
Yeah.
In a good way. Should we check in on Terrence Mann? He got some playing time against the Pels. Terrence Mann, I kind of just want to harp on this, which is the thing that he needs harping on the most. He is shooting 47% from the field. Great.
Solid. Not great, but solid.
20% from three.
Yikes.
80% from the free throw line. Clear what the situation is. Tonight against the Pels, there was a shot. So Patterson, Jerome, and Mann run some nice plays. They move the ball around well on the perimeter. They did it against the Pels. Jerome swung it to Patterson. He swung it right to Terrence. Terrence had an open three. Terrence pump faked. The guy didn't bite because there's probably a scouting report that says he's not going to shoot. He's going to pump fake.
Yeah.
And then he hesitated, but kind of in the bad way, and then dished it to Jerome, and then Jerome threw up a brick. He just, I mean, there was no consequence to taking that three.
No,
he was
no.
probably supposed to take that three.
No, we had the lead. I mean, Terrence Mann didn't attempt.
Just let it fly.
Didn't attempt a single field goal in this contest.
How many minutes did he play?
I mean, he only played 3 minutes, but that's, you know.
Yeah, it's a couple shots you get up. He had one he could have taken. But yeah, I'm just saying let it fly.
I'm just saying.
Patterson went one for one.
I'm saying when you play limited minutes like that, if there's an open shot, you need to be taking it. But overall, I feel confident in his ability to develop that. If like watching Mann in workouts and pregame and stuff like that, he's got to be like one of the most willing to learn people I've ever seen on
for
the court.
Sure.
Like he's constantly got an ear open to hear whatever someone is willing to tell him.
Yeah,
and I think that two things. Like I think A, maybe sometimes that makes you get in your own head a little bit. Sometimes on the floor, but I think overall,
just in terms of you're processing so much information.
Yeah, but I think in terms of overall, like long term development wise, it's a good thing because you know he's willing to learn, which I think is like the best. I don't know. Doc said that was one of the things that he loved the most about Shai.
Yeah. Yeah, I hope he gets some more time with Shamit out.
Yeah,
I think when Shamit comes back, not sure how much time we see.
Yeah.
That brings us
that guard position gets pretty interesting. I feel like once Shamit gets back, if Shamit is coming off the bench and you also have Magruder available, I mean, Lou's spot is pretty much cemented. So.
Yeah, I don't think that's going anywhere. We got to talk about Jerome Robinson.
Yeah.
He's a fresh player on the team, second year.
He is a fresh player
What's
on the team.
What's up with Jerome? Where are you at right now? You're kind of the Jerome report.
Man, the shooting wasn't great tonight. He only shot 17% from the floor, 1 of 6, including 0 of 5 from three. A lot of the looks, though, were quality looks, and the shots weren't awful. A couple of them like did ram in and out. What I loved, though, in this one was he did add 4 assists, and the passing looked really pretty solid. And overall, to me, who, you know, like I am admittedly, you know, the president of Jerome Island. So yeah. I will, you know, I got my Jerome colored glasses on.
Oh, God. Man.
But I
oh, geez.
I have been impressed with his confidence lately, especially like handling the ball and just his composure on the court. I think that that's come a long way. And I think that he's kind of understanding how to be a role player, which I think is a different.
It's a good thing for him
for
to
people.
Learn.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would say.
I hope that the shooting gets better.
Do you think his minutes just go away when Shamit comes back?
I think it's going to depend on the night and the matchup for sure. I don't know. It's a nice thing. You know, I just feel like I keep saying this, but it's just like a nice thing when you have an extra tool in there that you know you can rely on. And even if the shots aren't falling down, he does still, at least to my eye, add some plus defense. And he's
fouls
able to
can
move
get
the ball.
A little in trouble, but yes,
the fouling isn't great. Yeah, that's a good point.
Might as well check in with Patrick Patterson. Caught some heat online lately.
Are we digging into that?
We're not digging into it at all.
Okay, I was
he
like,
seemed
I don't
to
know,
have
man.
Handled it with aplomb.
Yeah, I
also I'm not sure who's that worried about what Patrick Patterson. Is saying it's such a weird pull for that publication to make.
Yeah, I'm not familiar enough with the situation to really comment, but I hope he's doing well.
I think, you know, he is doing well. He loves Pokemon Snap.
Yes.
And the fantastic artist you need to follow at LOLWTF Eric, King of Clipper memes, I would say.
Oh yeah, easy.
Made a fantastic Pokemon Snap themed piece of art.
How wild is it that his favorite Pokemon game is Pokemon?
Dude, when he said that, everyone was like, oh, you love Pokemon. Because he tweeted about Nintendo sending him like a sweet care package with a new Pokemon Switch. He's like, oh, yeah, I played like 3 hours of it. And then I was like, what's your favorite Pokemon game? And he was like, Pokemon Snap. And it was like, oh, like,
dang,
you're into Pokemon. Like, yeah.
That's a roots answer.
I've never heard that in my life.
Yeah.
But, yeah, anyway, great piece of art right about there. Hope Trez can keep his mind fresh.
Yeah. He had some troubling tweets over the weekend.
Guy's going through it.
Yeah. Hope that he's doing well. He did mention that, you know, basketball is kind of a nice thing that, you know, he gets to go and do, and it is an outlet for him.
Yeah. He had a career night against the Pels.
Yeah.
Hope the travel day is nice. Yeah. Shout out to Trez.
Yeah.
Clipper Nation loves you, buddy. That about wrapped. Anything, any loose shavings? Did you think of anything?
No, I don't think so.
Hope Derek Walton Jr. is doing well.
Yeah.
Just checking in with him.
We've got a stretch of games, not a whole lot of home games coming up over the next 18.
Yeah. I think, what is it, five?
Yeah.
Five out of the next 18 are at home. We're going to be away to the Mavs on Tuesday.
That's right. Early plan right now is to have a watch party at the Senior Fish on Sunset. It's in Echo Park. Sunset in Echo Park or Sunset in right over there.
Yeah.
Come hang out. Come through. We'll remind you on Twitter.
We're going to record after, you know, so it's going to be a fun time. We're going to have Twitter Tuesday.
That's right.
Well, for y'all. We're going to have a huge game view for that game against the Mavs, which is going to be a very fun watch how Luka Doncic is playing.
It's going to be a fun watch.
It's going to be a good time. And then whatever else happens between now and then in Clipperland. Thank you guys so much for listening. Check us out on iTunes.
Yeah, please leave a rating and a review. We really appreciate it. Check us out on Twitter. That's at Will Updike, at Charles Mockler, at Locked On Clips. We'd love to hear from you.
We'll read the reviews. I didn't check them this weekend, so if you left for this weekend and we missed it, we'll read it tomorrow's episode.
Yep. And don't forget to get those questions in for tomorrow's Twitter Tuesday.
Yes, I will be tweeting some stuff out. Thank you so much for listening. I have been Positive Chuck Mockler.
And I'm William A. Opinion Updike. Appreciate you.